This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thank you. Chuckling at that last little item you had there.
Yeah, well, it's Women's Day here in South Africa, so what better story to tell than just a typical idiot male one, right? Because
well,
men,
exactly.
Because men
and
can
I think
be stupid.
We've said this before.
Yeah.
But you know that you know the famous saying that if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, did it still make a noise?
Right.
And the Jewish corollary to that is if a Jewish man speaks in a forest and no one hears him, is he still wrong?
You know what? She'll find out, Vic. She'll find out.
Exactly.
Or somehow she'll know. She'll know. And yes, so the answer is definitely, he's still wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
This was an amazing, amazing story, and I'm so excited to chat to you about it. Commonwealth Games gold medal winner was inspired by her grandmother, who survived Auschwitz, and two Jewish brothers win medals in judo. Let's just talk all about that, because what an amazing story this is.
It is. It's a beautiful story. Her name is Jemima Montag, and we've spoken about it before because she's represented this country at the Olympic Games for Australia, and she came, from memory, she came sixth at the last Olympics in Tokyo. And now she represents Australia again, in the walking, by the way, in the Olympics and the 20-kilometer walk. And now she's represented Australia in the Commonwealth Games, which just concluded today, in the 10-kilometer walk. And first of all, she won the gold medal in 42 minutes. I mean, most human beings cannot run 10 kilometers in 42 minutes, let alone walk it. But beautiful part of the story is that Jemima, both of her grandparents survived Auschwitz.
Right.
And right before the game, she was in lockdown for obvious reasons with her mother. And they were going through family papers and discovered her grandmother's story. And her grandmother, who had died just before the Olympics, survived Auschwitz, went to Paris, met somebody, and her husband died. Her grandmother then received a letter from a stranger in Melbourne who said, I've heard about you. I've also survived Auschwitz. Why don't you come to Australia? So her grandmother goes to Australia, meets this guy. They get married. And
unbelievable.
And that is Jemima's grandparents.
Wow.
The grandmother left a beautiful gold necklace to Jemima's family. And so at the Commonwealth Games, when she was competing in a 10-kilometer race, she was wearing a gold bracelet, which was part of her grandmother's necklace. And Jemima and her sister cut up that necklace so that each had a part of it as a bracelet.
Wow, wow.
And as she said, it was so much more meaningful. Well, she's obviously not downplaying the gold medal at the Commonwealth Games.
Of course, yes.
But how special to be wearing her grandmother's gold bracelet around her wrist. And just knowing what her grandmother had been through, et cetera, et cetera. So a very, you know, very moving story. And great to see that the mainstream media, by the way, have given it.
What I was going to say that, you know, I'm reading it here in South Africa. There's coverage around the world on the story. Because I think it really does talk to the human spirit and the triumph, and it talks to family, it talks to it talks to women of strength. It just talks to so many things that unite people, whether no matter what religion, no matter what heritage you are, everybody connects to that. You know, it was interesting. I think it was last year I ran a panel of people from completely different backgrounds. So there was somebody Jewish, somebody Muslim, somebody Hindu, Christian, and different parts of the Christian community, Afrikaans. Like it was just this really diverse panel. And what was interesting was the questions that I asked were things like, what would disappoint your grandmother? And everybody's grandmother was exactly the same. You know, we all have the same grandmother and we all have the same mothers. And that was the incredible part about this, is that there's so much more that unites us from a human perspective than divides us. And that's, I think, why the story is so poignant and so powerful, is because it talks to the essence of who everybody is, really.
Yes, you put that beautifully. And the headline, which I'm looking at right in front of me now, from the Sun Herald, which is a mainstream Sunday newspaper, says, "From Auschwitz to Glory, Montag's Incredible Walk." And with a huge full color picture of her, etc. So, yeah, lovely story. And then just while we're on the subject of the Commonwealth Games, just very quickly, is that two brothers, Joshua and Nathan Katz, no guessing which community they come from, and both of them won bronze medals for judo representing this country at the Commonwealth Games. And their mother also represented Australia at the Olympics in Seoul way back in 1988. And their father is their coach, was their mother's coach, and is now the coach of the two brothers. So a great family effort there. And, two brothers winning bronze for Australia in judo.
Absolutely. Really, really amazing. The other story that we wanted to cover, also connected to Holocaust survivors, is that the Holocaust survivor twins turn 100.
An inspirational story. So twins, Philip Maisel, Bella Hirschhorn, they both come from Melbourne. And again, front page story in the mainstream media, where the headline is "Holocaust Twins Prove That Miracles Do Happen." Both twins, the brother and the sister, and his twin sister, have just turned 100. And both survived Auschwitz. And as I said, there were three miracles. One is that they survived. Secondly, and not in this order, secondly, that they both turned 100. And the third miracle is that Philip Maisel, the male twin, he thought that he was the only one of his family who had survived. And he found himself alone in Germany in the months right after the war, after the Holocaust, with no knowledge of any other member of his family. And a stranger approaches him and comments on his weird Yiddish accent and says he'd just been at a DP camp in another part of Germany where he met a woman with a similar weird accent. And Philip Maisel, he knew it was a 1 in 1,000,000,000, whatever, chance that this was his twin sister. Mm. But he has a little motorcycle, and he treks across Germany to find his DP camp, and lo and behold, he finds his twin sister, who is alive. And the two of them, you know, Baruch Hashem, they both live in Melbourne.
Absolutely.
They're both 100 years old. And just a inspirational story. And the lovely part of the story is they ask, is there a secret to their longevity? And he replies, just be positive, always be positive.
Oh, I love that. Really love that. Sydney gets new kosher supplier. So we spoke about this a while back. I was really surprised as to what was happening there. Tell us what's going on now.
So we did. So very quickly there. So as you said, some months ago, we spoke that the only kosher abattoir, kosher certified abattoir in Sydney closed down, leading to the closure of Sydney's only kosher butchery and Cassie's, which is a very popular deli. And that was way back in May. So just this week, a new kosher supplier has been secured with an abattoir, so there is now a kosher delivery service back here in Sydney. And the hope is that this will have a flow-on effect and that there can also, again, be, you know, kosher deli, kosher butchery, et cetera, et cetera. So it's taken from May until now, August. But at least
it's getting sorted.
Exactly right.
Before I let you go, I see that you have an article in the Sydney Morning Herald today. This is the whole community will suffer if Indigenous Centre closes. Tell us what this is about.
So just very briefly, in the heart of Sydney, there's a major Indigenous. It's called the National Centre of Indigenous Excellence, right. And what it is, it was a high school, so a massive campus. Swimming pool, gym, et cetera. A few thousand people have gone through the center in the 10 years since it's been there. Everyone from 5-year-old kids who get brought there after school, get given a hot meal for some of their first meal of the day, are looked after. There are fitness programs, there are gyms, there are leadership programs, life skills programs. It is a hub and a sanctuary for Indigenous kids, and not only kids up to the age of 18. And because of financial reasons, it is threatened with closure right now as we speak. And I heard about this, and it just really spoke to me about, on so many levels, what a travesty and tragedy it would be if this were allowed to close. So I went out there, spent a few hours there speaking to the main people. And I have to say, when you walk around the place, for those listeners who follow rugby, there's a Wallabies rugby jersey signed by all three Ella brothers, Gary, three Ella brothers, Aboriginal, all played for rugby for Australia. Cathy Freeman, who won gold at the Olympics. And the list of Indigenous Aboriginal Olympic champions is amazing. And so there's huge pride there in sporting achievement. Bottom line is now the centre is threatened with closure. And this did really speak to me. So I wrote a column, which the Sydney Morning Herald, I was very gratified they accepted it, and they ran it on the opinion pages in today's edition. And, you know, hopefully there's other publicity as well. It's been on some of the TV channels. And hopefully governments, councils, philanthropies, private owners, and the Aboriginal groups as well will come together and just do the right thing and save it, because the repercussions, the ramifications, if it were to close, it's, as I wrote there, it's not just the local Indigenous community, but everyone who will wear the consequences.
Vic Aladev, well done. Thank you, as always, former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, bringing us the latest news from Australia. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.